don't. Well, okay. I don't like that.
You don't like it? It's cute.
No.
What's the problem with it?
Reporting live from my basement, where the Star Wars blanket is, you're listening to Soft Focus. Today we're going to be talking about superhero movies and also The Lobster.
Oh my god, for which one?
I'm just, both. I don't know.
Or for neither?
The combination of those two.
But before we get into that, we'll do our normal shtick after we say a little goodbye to Maddie, who isn't even here right now. She's off in New York, living the dream, doing cool things.
Hopefully.
I'm sure she is. And as a way of saying goodbye, I'm going to read a poem that she wrote that I like, and we can all together admire her and think about how awful her absence is. All right. This is called Color is Free. This must be the room I live in, walls like California's painted grass, smudge marks shaped like a memory. Every once in a while, these magazine clippings keep me alive. You're beyond that, a yearning for bad art. Once upon a time, I drew a bad self-portrait and cried. Don't tell me that's naive. You don't even read the news. What is your morning like? Mine has to do with darkened mirrors and clutter, nail polish and big crowds and the end of an era. Color is free. This is my sermon. Listen to what I speak when I'm asleep, cocooned in royal sheets. The dishes are never really clean. Music is too loud, painted over nerves, and the two of us continue to drink, silently blaming each other.
Well, that one's beautiful.
She's a good writer.
I really like that one.
She's a fine young lady.
She's wonderful.
And we'll all
she
miss
really
her.
Is wonderful.
I hope, right? Is she doing publishing in
publishing
New York?
That's where Columbia.
She's
publishing.
That's why she's at.
Oh, wait, we don't want to give people that? Too much information.
That's
we don't
true,
want someone to like
true,
track
true,
her down.
That's true. We should probably.
It's a big dirty city.
They don't know her last name.
They don't even know if that's her actual first name.
Well, wait. Well, you can edit that.
Can we put a foghorn over...
Yeah, just go...
Instead of editing it.
anyway, all right.
Goodbye, Maddie.
We love you.
Yeah, well, maybe she'll be on again. Maybe we can have a special correspondent. I don't know.
Oh, that's a good idea.
If you listen to this episode and it's terrible, you can tweet at us that we need to get Maddie back.
Well, my favorite one is still The Big Short. That's my favorite one. So maybe she didn't add as much as I thought she did.
Oh.
Jeez.
Oh, my God. Shots I'm just fired. Joking. I'm totally joking. She's wonderful. She's a lovely, lovely person.
But we're over it. We just got over it. We were really sad, but
that's
now
it. I'm not
we're
even thinking
okay.
about it anymore.
That was cathartic enough for the both yeah. of you to move on.
Yeah.
I was like, okay.
People who are still in our lives, Sam, how are your grandparents?
They're fine. They just came back from Florida.
We haven't had an update on them in a while. Like,
yeah, they came
one
back.
One of them could have died.
No,
yeah,
no,
I'm
nobody.
Waiting for the update where
no,
they died.
No, 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 no. Never say that again.
I emailed them and they responded, we're dying.
No, that's actually died. Terrible and I never want you to say that again. That's horrible. I hope that the both of you die before they do.
Fair enough.
I would be so much happier. Anyway,
the next episode is just Sam by himself
with my grandparents. They, yeah. I've taken over.
That,
it's like
that
a
show
coup.
Would get extremely popular.
it probably would because they're kind of the same. They have the same personalities. Anyway, doesn't matter. They came back from Florida. They're wonderful. I went out to eat with them twice. I went over to their house twice. Once to fix their laptop.
Nice.
And wants to do something else, I forgot what. Maybe just to hang out with them. But I've hung out with them a couple times. They're wonderful, beautiful people. They haven't seen a movie since they've been back, so I don't have anything to report on that front.
Man.
But they look the same. They're acting the same. They're beautiful, wonderful people.
You don't think they've been replaced by imposters?
No, I don't think this is like Invasion of the Body Snatchers at all. I think they're genuinely the same people. And it was so I'm so happy that they're back. I'm so happy to hang out with them.
That's great.
They're like a surrogate. For Maddie, or it's like it was good that it happened at the same time.
Yeah.
That now it's like a level, a level ship kind of.
Yeah, we're just stuck in despair, but you've got something.
I've got my lovely, lovely grandparents who I adore, and they're my favorite people.
I have grandparents.
Well, yeah, but they didn't. Do they leave in the winter?
No.
Okay. Well,
so you're not
you
getting like a boost, you know?
Yeah,
I have a new boost though.
What's your new boost?
Does it have to do with YouTube?
No.
Oh, is okay. It, well, you can say
what
it.
What is
anyway.
It?
My parents.
Being gone?
Yeah.
That's a boost for
your dad listens to this.
No, I mean, like, when they come back, I'll be like, my parents are back from Japan.
But now it's like a double Not down. Florida. Now you're doubling down.
Wait, actually, I do have a YouTube thing.
So. Oh, go, well, hey.
Sam, finish your...
Well, my grandparents needed help getting on their computer, and you know what you go on your computer sometimes, if you want, is YouTube. Yeah. Hey, Theodore, have you seen anything on YouTube recently? Was that too tenuous of a...
Wait, give me a second. I need to find a second.
I thought you were going to say that like you went to fix your grandparents' computer, and you're just like, oh, the problem is you downloaded way too much porn.
No, no, no. The problem was that I needed to... Their IP address wasn't typed into their like printer or something like that, and so the printer wasn't working. That was the problem.
All right, well, my YouTube...
Wait, I need a segue.
Okay, do it.
And then YouTube.
Anyway, my YouTube
yes.
recommendation of... this podcast is probably the most genius one I will ever have. Because my brother sent it to my mom on Facebook, and I thought it was really good. It's a video by this guy named Bill Wurtz, W-U-R-T-Z, okay. and it's the history of Japan in 9 minutes and one
second. Oh, I've seen that. It's really good.
Yeah, it's really, really good. And also, I don't really like his channel that much because it's kind of like... high school nihilism 8 second videos like saying like this it's sunny but I still feel stupid or something like that.
Yeah.
It's like, all right, but this video, History of Japan, is really good and funny and it teaches you without it being dumb.
Words. Okay.
You can just search History of Japan,
I bet. Yeah, it comes up. And if it's 9 minutes and 1 second and it has good font, that's what it is.
Okay. Wow.
So watch it, it's good.
I will.
Thank you, Tristan, for posting it on my mom's Facebook. Shout out to my brother, Tristan.
Tristan Thompson. That's a segue. Neither of you even got it.
Okay.
No.
Tristan Thompson's a player for the Cleveland Cavaliers. Were you going to ask me about basketball? Oh,
yeah.
You were?
Basketball.
I don't really want to know, but...
You're coming over tomorrow to watch the game, buddy.
I know.
Wait, really?
Yeah, why? Do you want to come?
No.
Because Emily wants to, and she's bringing him.
No.
Peter's coming.
I got a dinner date with Finn.
Oh, maybe. That's true, yeah.
Finn maybe doesn't after like that. Basketball. Wait, when is it?
It'll start at 9.
Oh, maybe I could afterwards. I'll text
it'll
you.
It'll probably be like
I'll
2 hours.
You. I'll text you.
Yeah, you can come.
But nobody cares. Probably no one listening to this cares about that.
Yep, so the ball goes in the hoop. That's good.
Is that... No, go ahead. Tell me about your stuff.
It's okay.
No, I meant me making plans with you. Oh. Nobody cares about that.
I think they all really do. The relationships drive the show.
I think that's probably
maybe.
True.
It's like The Office. The jokes are there to suck you in, but you're really there for the long-term relationships.
Yeah. I feel like I'm the big old fat one.
Which one?
The big old fat one.
There's two big
old fat ones.
No, the...
Kevin?
The guy who's like...
Oh, there's three
blah,
big old
blah,
fat
blah,
ones.
Blah, blah.
Stanley,
oh, yeah.
Stanley, Kevin, Phyllis. All fat.
One of them. Or maybe all three. Maybe I'm all three. Basketball. Go ahead.
It's happening. There's some really stupid narratives on Twitter about
shoes.
Whether LeBron is good or not. Oh. He is.
What the?
There's some really stupid narratives about whether Steph Curry is good or not. He is.
Why are people wondering?
Didn't one of them not want to high-five the other one?
Can't you just watch the game and be like, yep, he is good. Move on.
Yeah, it's just, I mean, this is a thing that happens more broadly on Twitter, right? Where something is either, like, the best thing ever or it's fucking terrible.
Yeah.
And it happens in basketball, too. I could talk about basketball for such a long time. Who's the worst player?
Yeah.
I once looked at every player who had ever scored 50 points in a game to try and decide who the worst player to ever score 50 points in a game was. And it might be Corey Brewer, a guy who's still playing, a guy who's probably like 6'7", and probably weighs like 50 more pounds than me.
Okay.
He looks like a jackrabbit. Like, he looks like he could just straight up be in a cartoon.
Oh.
He's a wonderful man.
But he's the worst of the worst.
No, but he might be the worst player ever to score 50 points.
Why?
That's a lot of points.
Why?
Well, there's the set of players who have scored 50 points.
Yeah.
And he, like, by advanced statistics, he's, like, one of the worst.
Okay. I don't know anything about it, so I was
in terms
curious.
Of, like, his career stats, like,
oh,
his
okay.
PR.
Yeah, so, like, if he's in, like, the upper class of basketball, he's in the lowest bracket of the upper class.
He's like, it's kind of a fluke that he even scored 50 points. Like, it's kind of amazing.
Oh, okay. Oh, so it's, like, good for him. It's like the big old fella.
And it's just like a really weird dude who looks weird and probably has a very weird personality too, I just assume.
Oh.
And then he just like scores a fuckload of points this one game. I don't, this probably isn't something that sports fans can relate to, but sometimes just like a weird dude who you just like, not because he's good, but because he's weird, just starts doing stuff that you're like, this is not sustainable at all. You'll never do this again. And I'm so happy that it's happening. It's like, I don't know what the equivalent in a movie would be. It would be like if you were watching a really serious movie and then it just got really silly
for a
little bit. And you'd be like, I'm here. But it would be if the movie's only going to air once, I guess. Not a good analogy. Let's talk about some actual movies.
That was a good that was the best segue of the night.
Yeah. Well,
let's talk about
rusty?
Serious movies that don't know if they're serious or silly or not.
Wait. That segue was Superman. Speaking of Superman.
You're off the show now.
Speaking of Superman.
We're going to kick you off like we did Maddie.
Just going to call Maddie, but like, so we don't have to deal with the, like the speakerphone kind of bad sound quality. We're just going to have you call Maddie with like an ear set and then just she'll say to you and you just have to repeat whatever she says.
I don't say anything. I don't interject at all.
No.
Yeah. Okay. You, I mean, you just speak, but only as like a mouthpiece. For
okay. Her. Okay. That's fine. Like an oracle.
Or like propaganda, which is what superhero movies are.
Okay.
What's the best superhero movie?
Of recent memory of all time?
Whatever.
What's
even in the running? So
Batman.
Batman, Chris Nolan, and the Tim Burton one, right? They're in the running.
Yeah, I like
I tried to watch the Tim Burton one.
I haven't watched it since I was like 18, but I remember thinking it was good then.
I like the Superman, the first Superman, the Richard Donner Superman. Yeah, I've never good. Seen that. Guardians of the Galaxy is great.
Okay. That kind of counts.
Is that where the one they have the cassette?
Yes. Yeah, they have a cassette. It makes sense thematically. It's a cassette. It makes sense thematically.
Okay.
I don't know. What else?
What else is in the running? I mean, when I
Super?
First saw the like Sam Raimi Spider-Man movies in high school, I thought they were really good. But then someone was trying to get rid of a bunch of DVDs, and they gave me Spider-Man 2. And I rewatched it like...
Oh, it's not good?
Years ago. It's like... very bad.
Okay.
Like, just in, like, really service-level ways. Like, the lighting is terrible.
Okay.
The sound is really bad.
Okay.
They're just bad movies. Okay. And, of course, Tobey Maguire is terrible as Spider-Man.
Yes.
Does Edward Scissorhands count as a superhero movie?
No, I don't think so.
Think about it.
I feel like Edward Scissorhands is closer to The Lobster than a superhero movie.
I feel like Edward Scissorhands is like Batman, except instead of a bunch of gadgets that are shaped like bats, they're just scissors on his hand.
I guess he does have like a defining deformity, which is like almost and he's like, to be a superhero.
You can cut your topiary really well.
That's like his superpower?
Yeah, remember he does that? And then the wife is like, wow!
Or he's like a superhero that hasn't like started channeling his deformity towards like massive destruction yet.
Yeah.
Okay, so he will be perverted at some point.
He could. He's like a potential superhero.
Okay.
So that means Tim Burton has made two,
three, because he did Batman, the second Batman.
Okay, three superhero
movies. And Charlie and the Chocolate Factory. But that's besides the point. One of the worst superhero movies I find is Man of Steel, but also Batman v Superman. I feel like is a misery to sit through. Are we going to compare Batman versus Superman?
No, I didn't see it.
You saw it with us.
No, that was Mackenzie. Didn't.
What?
You and I saw Civil War.
Oh, and me and Sam saw Batman versus Superman, so I'm like the bridge over troubled water.
Well, so we can't compare them, I guess.
I saw a little bit of the first Avengers movie.
Well, that's almost the same as...
Wait, you didn't see the Captain America movie?
No, Sam? I did. I liked it.
You and I have seen both of the recent
Theodore
ones.
Theodore has not.
Yeah.
I saw Iron Man one time.
That's fine. Good for you.
Okay.
Did you like
it? The Avengers is basically what...
I kind of liked it.
The new Captain America movie was like Avengers Light, right?
Yeah, it should have just been called Avengers Civil War.
It should have been called like, oh, sorry, you guys didn't like Age of Ultron that much, but we know you liked the first Avengers. How about not as good a version of that?
See, I feel like it's a better Avengers.
Well, why do you think so?
Because it was a little less, like, on the nose. Or, like, it wasn't... There was no, like, glamour to it in the same way that Avengers had, like, those, like, 360, like, crazy, like, yeah. like there was no fan That's service in the same way. It yeah. was kind of just like, boom, boom, boom. We're, like, getting into it. We're having a good time.
The jokes might have been toned down.
Yeah, it was a little less jokey, and yeah. when it was jokey, I was like, oh, that's appropriate, that's fine. It wasn't, like, bantery in the same way. It wasn't, like, Joss yeah. Whedon bantery. And I kind of liked how it was like if you took the Avengers, and that's up to 10, and then you dialed it down to 7, and then now you have the Civil War movie.
Yeah, it was. Like, it felt, like, dialed down in a yeah. way, which might not be bad. I mean, for the record, I think the Avengers, the first one, and... like every movie in this franchise is just abominable, just really bad, like just really horrible.
That's amazing.
So yeah, I'm open to the possibility that the new Captain America Civil War is better than the Avengers.
This is what I liked about it. Can I just say one thing that I liked about it? Yeah. And then you can chime in and tell
That's
me
what
if
this
you
is
don't.
For.
Okay, great. Yeah, you're absolutely right. It's supposed to be a dialogue, so there's no reason to preface it.
We're getting warmed up right now. This like, if we were playing some kind of competitive thing,
yeah.
We'd be like, this is just a practice game,
this is
right?
Practice
yeah,
one.
It's just a one. Oh my God.
We'll record this a second time.
Yeah.
Okay. So, if I can say, no. Every single superhero movie ever is the highest stakes imaginable that can ever possibly exist. Like, Man of Steel, they're shooting a beam through the Earth's core. Avengers 2 is, like, this huge thing's gonna fly up in the air and then explode onto the ground. The new X-Men movie is called Apocalypse. Yeah. They're, like, these insane high stakes. Batman versus Superman or whatever the yeah. poop that was called. So horrible because it's just, like, the highest possible stakes. And I feel like that's what I liked about Civil War, in a way, was that it was, almost no stakes. It was like two
yeah,
people were angry
like,
at each other, and but they're friends
yeah,
still.
Yeah, these friends are fighting.
These friends are fighting. And I'm like, yeah. those are perfect stakes for me, because like, it's not like offensive to me in a way. Like, it wasn't like buildings were collapsing and there was a million
people
dead. Well,
okay,
dead
this
everywhere.
Is what I'm going to say about that, because Captain America Civil War and Batman vs. Superman are, at least in terms of their premises, tackling very similar issues, which
sure.
is like... if these people really did exist, if superheroes were real, like,
yeah.
would their power be unchecked, and would that be a bad thing?
Yeah.
And while I don't think Batman vs. Superman is a good movie, I think it tries to grapple with that problem in a way that could conceivably be interesting.
Yeah, sure.
Whereas I think...
it tries to be a movie, is that what you're saying?
It tries to be an interesting movie.
It tries to, like, talk about something.
Yeah.
It really tries. And then Captain America is just like, oh, it... Which, okay, so obviously, like, the obvious metaphor for, like, a superhero in terms of, like, our real world is like, oh, yeah, like, is unilateral action from a superpower, like the United States, a good thing?
Yeah, yeah.
Which is, like, a relevant topic and,
sure.
like, maybe merits discussion.
Sure.
So I do like that Batman vs. Superman, like, tried to answer that, whereas Captain America Civil War is, like, here's this issue. This is actually just about Robert Downey Jr. and Chris Evans.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Are they going to get along again?
Right.
We'll see.
It's very weird to use that as, like, a launching pad for something that's so, like, minor.
Yeah.
I thought that was weird. I agree. But... I also like that it's, like, frivolous in a way, as opposed
yeah,
to, like,
Yeah, I don't think that,
Batman
I don't think I would
Superman.
Even care about that, except that the context of, like, all the Marvel movies is just, like, America's great, kill everyone else.
Yeah.
Like, they're all just, like, horrible propaganda movies about, like, how you should just fight other people
yeah,
who are different than you.
Everybody loves it. China loves it.
The more that I think about Captain America Civil War, the more I... fucking hate that they even, like, I feel like the writers literally had to, like, start it and be like, oh, wait, this is kind of a paradox. Like, they could just be like, oh, let's just not fight, and that's the end of the movie. So, fuck it, let's just, like, keep going. And, like, I feel like, Iron Man, like, literally even says, like, at the end where he's like, yo, dude, he was brainwashed, he, like, didn't do it. He's like, but he killed my mom. And
yeah.
he just starts punching it. You're like,
yeah, yeah.
what? These are fucking adults. Why would they be like, oh, let's just keep fucking punching each other?
I mean...
That's so fucking stupid.
I guess it's how real people work.
No, it's not. And
yeah.
It is not how I would work.
I think that, like, in a moment of stress, I feel like that's how people work.
I have no idea. Because, you remember when they were fighting in the airport or whatever?
Yeah.
And then, like, that... I don't remember what the character's name is, but punches the guy with both, like... whatever the fuck, the guy with the bows and arrows.
Hawkeye.
The Hurt Locker.
Yeah,
the Hurt Jeremy Locker. Renner.
And then they're like, are we still friends? And he's like, yeah. And they just keep fighting. Yeah. That makes no fucking sense.
It's great.
It's so stupid. It's like, what are they just going to keep punching each other until eventually one dies, or like they knock the entire other clan out and they're going, well, I guess we won.
Yeah.
They're all, it just doesn't make any sense.
Yeah.
And I guess none of their actions are warranted, and they don't have any motivation to do anything.
In a way, this comes back to your question of stakes, where it's like the movie had high stakes and really low stakes at the same time. Yes. It's like, whoa, not like you're used to seeing one superhero fight one supervillain. Now you're seeing like five superheroes fight five other superheroes.
At the same time, this is
gonna be a crazy fight.
Yeah. Yeah.
So like the stakes are really high.
Yeah, yeah.
But at the same time, it's just like, no, we actually all like each other.
That's having its cake and eating it too.
But I don't understand. I didn't feel anything when I was watching it. I was just like, this is like watching two like 6-year-olds be mad at each other and just like lightly hit each other with sticks.
Yeah, I mean,
which
it's
I see
fun.
All the time, and it's you're like, just like,
it's a fun trip. It's okay, like, but it's they like Bugsby Berkeley. What's his name?
Bunny.
What's the guy who did the Greatest Show on Earth kind of stuff?
I don't know. Barnum and Bailey.
No, the like you know the dancey the dancey 30s movies. Berkeley.
Oh yeah, I don't know.
Bugsby Berkeley.
No idea.
Isn't that his name?
Bugs Bunny.
Just having a good old time. It's like having a good old time.
Yeah.
Old timey it's kind of like a thing where, to me, Batman versus Superman is a reflection of like our modern state.
Yeah.
And like, I don't know, in that way it's very depressing. Like, oh look, a person's murdering somebody in a country far away.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, drag.
But that stuff also happens in those movies.
Yeah, it happens also in Civil War, but it's treated as though it doesn't matter at all. So you like get the mind forgets
but
about
the conflict,
it. It's so bizarre.
Because it's propaganda.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But
it's
the conflict
very
in the movie is that they're doing too much damage.
Yeah.
So wherever the alliance is like, can you stop your destroying, you're causing billions of dollars of damage?
Yeah.
And Captain America's just like, fuck you, I'm gonna do whatever the fuck
I
want.
Yeah, yeah.
Iron Man's like, yeah, okay, well, we won't do that as much.
Yeah.
But Captain, and then they have to fight.
Yeah.
That's not fun. That makes no sense.
Okay, so another thing that I think is interesting about the comparison between Batman vs. Superman and Captain America Civil War is, like, one of them also, like, makes an attempt to look interesting. And, like, all of the Marvel movies just look horrible. Like, you have to admit that.
They just look really glossy.
They're just, like, it's just, like, I got a digital camera and, like, shot some things with, like, nice stabilizers and stuff like that. And then, like, I went into my editing software and just, like, make everything a little bit more gray.
Yeah.
That's what they all look
really,
like.
The action's
so bad.
Really
bad. Hey, you know how, you know when you, like, first saw the first Transformers movie? And you're like, why does this look weird? It's like, they've been doing the same thing for, like, years.
I mean,
it's like shiny, but also it's like really dull, but the colors are really deep.
Yeah,
I don't know,
it just looks really normal. Like, it just looks like, oh, yep, you shot that outside. Like,
it
yeah,
just
it's
looks
weird.
Like, it just looks like a guy who is like kind of hip, like went to film school in Chicago, and then now he just like made like some documentary that's really boring, but he like made it look
like, oh, yeah,
really
it's like indie movies where you like go to this indie movie, and then it's just like, oh, right,
like
for some people. For some people, indie just means, like, low budget. So, this guy just, like, got a camera.
Yeah. yeah
it's
yeah,
like,
yeah.
you're still allowed to try. Yeah. You're still allowed to, like, try and make things look good.
But well, then also, like, exploding everywhere. You're just like, fuck.
What's the best-looking Marvel movie, then?
What'd
you say?
That Captain America with J.D. Salinger's son in it.
No, that
looked awesome.
No, wait, but the first Captain America movie with like Red Skull or whatever, at least like plays with a color palette. I don't think it does it particularly successfully, but it tries. Like,
yeah, I
it
like
gets
that.
Points for effort.
That's fine. I like Iron Man 3 has some nice blues and greens.
Iron Man 3, I wrote a whole thing about this.
Yeah.
Like the scenes that the Mandarin does look really cool.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So it's almost like it's like this big budget movie is like having a war inside itself against like independent cinema.
Yeah.
And just like, whoa, you thought about how those shots would look, get the fuck out of here, we need to kill this guy.
Yeah.
I don't know, I think the color palette in Iron Man 3 is pretty nice.
It's, I mean, it's like astonishingly good for a Marvel movie, which is still like,
and Guardians of the Galaxy
really poor,
is beautiful in terms of its colors. That's it.
I didn't see that.
Avengers 2 was like an assault on your senses being so gray the whole time.
Also
so dour.
Avengers 2 was just Transformers also.
Yeah, it was a little bit too much
Ultron
of like
just
flipping around.
Like,
yeah, it was horrible. But at the same time, to me, Batman versus Superman, or is that what it's actually called?
Batman v Superman. Batman, and I think you say versus.
Batman versus Superman is Dawn so of Justice. Sad. Is that what it's yeah, Dawn yeah, of yeah. It's sad to look at, like the colors. But there's are like so some cool sad.
Like neon greens and a lot of like darks.
Neon greens.
Yeah, I feel like there's a lot of neon green. The
You're thinking of the Green Lantern.
No.
Oh my god.
With Ryan Reynolds.
Oh my god.
I hate Ryan Reynolds. If I saw Ryan Reynolds right now, I would immediately try to murder him.
I'm trying to think of like a good Ryan Reynolds.
He's not been in any good movies
ever. Van Wilder.
I never saw that, but I think his you're
face
lying.
Is really familiar to me, but I don't know why. I don't know what he's been in.
I was Your gonna nightmares. Say he's in. I was yeah. gonna say he's in not another teen movie, but that was Chris Evans. That
was Chris Evans. I'm fine with
the only thing Chris I remember about awesome. Not another teen movie is when they just like say Sylvia's Plath name out of the blue. Like, what?
I don't remember that.
Yeah, it's like kind of in the beginning that this girl is, you know, like the main character yeah. girl. She's like rough or whatever. She's
yeah,
like Sylvia Plath.
Oh, I don't remember that.
I think it's Sylvia Plath.
That sounds as out of place as in the 500 Days of Summer when they're like, is this the Smiths? Do you remember that part?
Oh, yeah. They're like,
oh, God.
Which Beatle is your favorite? It's not
Ringo?
It's the lesser known one, because Indy.
It's so miserable.
And then the non-Indy guys note, are like,
oh, sorry, what are you talking about?
Should we start talking about the lobster?
Well...
Do you guys have closing thoughts about superhero movies?
They're confusing to me. I don't understand being a man-child that loves shit and getting tattoos of shit on your body because no, it's for kids.
I think people can love whatever they love.
True.
I can understand also. Why people would like them a lot. I think they could be done a lot better, especially given the amount of money that they have at their disposal.
But do you... Okay, continue.
I kind of lost my train of thought.
Oh, I was going to say, do you think that the money is almost part of a problem? Like, no director or creative team can really, like, put a mark on a big budget superhero movie, because the studio's just gonna be like, no, we need this to sell 7 billion tickets.
Yeah.
So that thing that's kind of weird and is gonna turn some people off, you need to take that out.
Well, I think that there's something to be said about, like, creative agency with, like, major motion pictures. I feel like some people can achieve it, like James Cameron, for instance. I feel like it's easy to achieve, like, a vision that you have with a lot of money. I just feel like maybe they're not picking people. I think James Gunn and Guardians of the Galaxy is like the closest you'll get to that.
I mean, it takes a special kind of director, right? Whose vision actually can work with the constraints that come with all that money.
Yeah.
Because like if someone wanted P.T. Anderson to direct a superhero movie, like, it's not gonna work. His whatever vision he would have would not be compatible. Let's pick someone weirder, like
David Lynch was supposed to do a Star Wars movie,
right? But like David Lynch could, like, it just would not work. It would
Dune,
be like these
Dune
movies
doesn't work.
It would be like these movies you hear about, like Noah's Dune Ark sucked. Like Noah's Ark with Aronofsky, where it's, yeah, like, that probably could have been a good movie, but like you hear all this stuff about like how there's this war between the studio and the director.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then you see it and you're like, yep, that seems like it couldn't decide what it wanted to be, and there was a lot of, you know, you can just tell.
Yeah. I think you need a person who like loves the material. Like Bryan Singer in X-Men 2. That movie's great. X-Men 2 is like one of...
Wait, like the Hugh Jackman ones? Like the,
yeah, I should have said X-Men 2 is the best superhero movie. That movie's incredible.
I remember really liking the X-Men movies when they came out.
X-Men 2 like, holds up. It's so beautiful.
I feel like definitively what I have against superhero movies right now is that they can't decide if they're serious or schlocky.
Yeah.
And I would appreciate them much more if they just... chose aside.
But this is what, that's what, like, Batman versus Superman chose. It chose serious, and it wasn't good.
Yeah, because so maybe just don't do that anymore.
Yeah.
But then the I feel like the Marvel movies are all just, like, pretty jokey.
But
like, they're
but
not
they're
full,
also
I agree
like,
with you that they're not fully committed,
yeah,
but, like,
yeah,
mixing action and comedy, I just feel like we've tipped way too far to the comedy side.
Yeah.
Like, because it's just,
yeah,
like, it's just, like, what's the way that we make the most people enjoy this? It's by, like, having, like, token action. But then, like, any time that there might be enough tension that it would make someone uncomfortable, we'll just tell a joke.
Yeah.
And it just becomes this really unwieldy, like, herky-jerky thing.
Yeah, yeah, it's a thing tumbling down a hill.
Because, like, of all the superhero comics I've read, which isn't a lot, but, like, I've read, like, the beginning of the Spider-Man stuff and, like, some really old Superman,
yeah,
stuff, all the comedy in those movies were just, like, and not movies, comic books, were just, like, quick.
Yeah.
It didn't, like... I feel like in the movies, like, if you translate it into a comic, it would take up, like, whole pages.
Yeah.
Whereas, like, in the comics, it would take, like, 3 or 4 panels for, like, a joke to be played out.
Yeah.
And I just want to be like, why is it still happening?
I mean, like, I feel like the Marvel movies are a lot of, like, one-liners. They're just not particularly good. And
there's a bunch of one-liners all
the time. The one-liners, I feel like, are never particularly tied to the character's personality.
Yeah.
I feel like that's one thing that Captain America Civil War did really well. They got Spider-Man right.
Yeah.
Like, I thought that movie was terrible, but, like, they got Spider-Man right.
Yeah, he actually seemed like he was in high school and like
and annoying. Like his sense of humor, like I found some of his jokes obnoxious, but I was like, no, like
that's what a high schooler would be
and doing. That's like Spider-Man. Yeah. That's like the tenor of his humor. Yeah. And like he's actually the one superhero who does, like, in the comics that I've read at least,
always change, isn't
a like, yeah, he's always like cracking jokes. Yeah. While he's fighting. So
you didn't think it was
fits.
A little bit good.
I liked Spider-Man.
No, Civil War
I thought it was pretty bad on the whole. Really? I mean, also if we just, you know, step off of my like snooty pedestal for a second. Yeah. Like, in terms of the way that the movie is constructed, like, the plot arc is just kind of, like, fizzles out. It's just kind of, like, it seems like they ran out of time, and they're just like, okay, so here's a letter Captain America wrote that's like, oh, maybe we'll be friends again.
I don't know.
So I think that's pretty bad. I thought it looked horrible. I think the whole...
They set the camera down during some action, though. I was excited.
Yeah, I mean, it definitely,
the action, like, a little better.
If
a step
you
up.
Restrict the, like, data set to just superhero movies, it was maybe, like, decent. I don't even think it was particularly good for superhero movies.
Interesting.
We didn't even really talk that much about Chris Nolan, which is fine.
I hate him. Here's something to think about. Ooh, just a thing. That's what you said before about them choosing between comedy and also like a horrible violence.
Yeah.
I think that's what Batman vs. Superman could have done really well, is that Superman is like this good, genuine, nice superhero man.
Yeah.
And then Batman is a horrible, gruff, disgusting, horrible pervert in the sewer.
Yeah.
And I feel like you could have played with that, and it could have been a play on the very nature of...
I thought they tried to.
Why would Because Superman's so mean the whole time.
They could have... Batman is that mean. I think they're just like, no, but he's in the gritty real world, so it's like...
Why wouldn't Superman just grab Batman's cape, fly up into the atmosphere, and then throw him into space?
Wait, didn't they do that at one point?
I feel like Superman would just
He did that with the other thing.
The thing that I don't even remember. Oh, Doomsday.
Okay, real life.
What a great
Superman
name.
Would just instantly kill Batman. There's not even a question. Batman's just a guy. He's just
Kryptonite,
a rich guy.
Kryptonite, dude.
That's the best
part.
Yeah,
we're going to get that. It's from a fucking alien planet.
He gets it in the movie.
That's so fucking stupid.
It's great. Those movies are great because they have, like, the sense of real world. Like, we're going to put them in the real world. And then there are these glaring errors of, like, judgment.
Yeah.
And it's like... what? It's so like having like Denny's in the Man of Steel movies.
Oh,
I'm
that's
like,
weird.
Are you even kidding me right now? But they're like, oh no, it's supposed to be in the real world. Like all this crap. It's just there's such a disconnect between superheroes and our real world in a way that it just doesn't work to be like, hey, here they are in the real world. They're gonna go to Denny's. Or whatever.
I feel like before the director made that movie, he should have watched
Zack Snyder.
Yeah, he should have just like watched Terminator 2 and been like, oh, that's really realistic. I should make it like that instead of...
That would have been cool if it was more like T2.
T2. Because they're both super, kind of, and they're dealing with, like, physical limitations.
That's actually really interesting.
Yeah,
I never
and it would have been
that.
Interesting.
The T-1000 and the T-2000?
Yeah, it's like Batman and Superman.
Wait, no, T-100?
I don't know.
T-100 and T-1000?
Yeah.
Anyway, it doesn't matter.
Say it confidently and it will...
Blonde guy
T-100 and T...
Brunette guy.
Yeah. Also, speaking of Terminator 2, The Lobster. That was my transition.
A good movie.
That was really good. I feel like The Lobster is like the indie movie that everyone sees this summer. Like, there's always kind of one, right, where it's just like, oh yeah, you see indie movies and you saw The Lobster. Well, good for you. I mean, it was a fine movie, and I actually really like the director's previous feature, so I'm glad that a lot of people are seeing it.
It's weird that
That it's all of a sudden become this like the indie movie of the summer.
Yeah. I feel like maybe there's just not anything else out, maybe. And I think the A24 did a great job, like, with the trailers and everything like that.
The trailer was really amazing.
I'm amazed at how great it is. And then also that poster, which was before A24 was a thing involved in the production. But that poster is beautiful, too. Maybe that's why people like it. There's no reason why people should be seeing this movie. But it is, like, buzzy in this weird way.
We're coming off of True Detective, too.
Maybe that's why you think with Colin Farrell.
Yeah. So what's his?
Yeah, I guess it like, doesn't oh. really have a lot of star power though.
No, like, it's like just him and yeah. the girl from Peep Show
and Steve and Steve Brule
and the girl from
The Fountain.
Blue is the.
Yeah, Lea Seydoux. I love how Lea Seydoux. I'm convinced that this is what happens. Lea Seydoux doesn't. No one calls her to be in a movie. She just like. Trawls the net and like finds out what movies are coming out, and then she just picks one and she calls up the director. She's like, "Yes, this is Lea Seydoux. I'm going to be in your movie." That's not at all what her voice sounds like. We, like, doesn't it just seem like she's just like, "I'm going to be in this movie," and they're like, "Yeah, okay."
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like
yeah.
James Bond, fine. The Lobster, come in halfway through and just yeah. be a main character yeah, yeah,
yeah.
all of a sudden.
Yeah, yeah. Everyone's just like, "Oh, sick."
Yeah. Right. yeah, yeah, yeah.
I think I'll write you in.
Right yeah, now. It's great. Yeah. What else was she in recently that I was just like, "Oh, here you are." Like,
I don't know. I think that's it.
No, she's been in oh, so whoa, much whoa, stuff. Oh,
she was in the Grand Budapest Hotel. For
yeah,
like
she's
seconds.
In everything. She yeah. just she just decides what she wants to be in, and it always works.
Yeah, she's in the new Xavier Dolan movie.
Okay,
how do you say his name? Which has been got something to can, but then everybody's upset about it. All like film Twitter people are like, "We hate him so much." I didn't know people hated him.
That's insane.
Maybe that's why Tom at the Farm didn't get distributed, or maybe it's because Tom at the Farm is horrible.
Oh my everybody god, Tom at the Farm is great.
Everybody that goes to any big film festival should not be allowed to use social media at all.
Yeah, they,
all of them are just like, "It sucked," and that's it.
Yeah, I don't know. It's like a big thing where you just want to be like. Cooler than everybody else. You're like,
yeah.
oh, bleh.
And I'm Wesley like, oh, Morris buddy. Should just tweet more.
Yes, Wesley Morris should
Wesley
tweet.
Wesley Morris, if you're listening to this, can you please tweet more?
Yeah, please.
Once every 30 minutes, at least.
Yes, please.
I you would need read to be on a regimen.
But the thing that is interesting to me about The Lobster being like the indie du jour
yeah.
is that it's the exact opposite of a traditional indie movie in that it's not fun, it's not enjoyable, it's like has a weird color palette. There's no fun music. There's yeah. one like leitmotif or leitmotif throughout the whole picture.
I love the music.
And the music's great, but I just don't think anyone. I'm amazed
that
people
like
want to see
it's
it.
It's not like the kind of like quirky indie movie that people have been seeing yeah. with like ukulele music and
right.
like
it is like
a romance,
yeah.
like
yeah,
a more conventional romance.
Soundtrack.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
It was exactly. like it was like the most utilitarian movie I've ever. Watched. I feel
what do
like.
You mean by that?
The like, acting, like is especially perfunctory.
Oh okay, God. Like the first
it's
scene.
So great.
The first scene, it's like, just like the rest of the movie. It's like pretty vague. You don't get to see that much. You see something striking happen. You don't exactly know why, and then it ends. And like at the end of the movie, that's like the whole movie again. You're like,
yeah.
whoa, that's the stuff. The music was just like really quick. It wasn't even there to like build mood. It was there like after things happened. It was like, oh shit. I was like, bam, bam.
Except
yeah, that's
the,
amazing.
The hunting scenes. The hunting
Except
scenes
the hunting
used
scenes, yes.
music and slow motion beauty. The hunting scenes were the best part of this movie, I think.
Really?
The
like,
hunting scenes
pretty
are great.
Clearly the best part.
I liked when they went into the city.
Okay.
A lot.
That
the
part
city,
was definitely
I want to know what the location is of the city. I know it was
yeah.
filmed in Scotland.
It looks insane.
Like the countryside is okay. Scotland. I don't know what that city is. That city looks like a fake, weird future city.
Yeah.
It's
Which
so
is
beautiful.
Exactly what it's supposed to look like.
But yeah, I think that's interesting what you said about the music, that it hits after it's supposed to.
Yeah.
It's very
like,
weird.
Yeah, like
unsettling.
It wasn't
the whole movie
it wasn't
unsettling.
Supposed to like build any type of tension because I feel like the actors were able to do it themselves.
Yeah.
And then like as soon as you like realize something is like crazy, they kind of just like hammer it in.
Yeah.
But it didn't feel like it was in a way where it's just like, okay, feel this emotion now.
Yeah.
Because
it almost seemed like a commentary on that.
Yeah, it was almost like a joke. Like,
hey, did you just get it?
Yeah.
It's like a you know how certain stuff has used like laugh tracks in like
yeah.
ironic ways.
Yeah,
it's
yeah.
almost like that a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah. Rabbit. The David Lynch rabbits.
I've
where there's just,
it.
Like, the horrible laugh track.
Yeah.
I think that's... I actually did have to cough. That's very true. I think the movie does... It knows that it's going to fall into, like, maybe, like, these platitudes of what it should, and then it does the exact opposite.
Yeah.
Like, all the time. Like, I think that's
yeah.
what its music does. I
yeah.
think that's what its acting does. Its plot line
yeah.
is, like, these people are going to get together. It's going to be great. Oh, wait, it's going to be horrible.
Yeah.
Like, everything is, like, this weird...
It
like...
is... It's definitely trying to be elusive in a number of ways, I think.
Yes.
Yeah,
and it does it really, really well.
I felt like halfway in the movie, like, when it took, like, the biggest turn that it takes...
Yeah.
At that moment, I, like, realized that I had no idea what was going to happen in this movie now.
Yeah.
Because, like, he's like, okay, so he's, like, leaving, you're like, oh, this is gonna be fine now, because I like it doesn't tell you like what's out in the forest. He doesn't. Yeah. He doesn't even know.
Yeah.
And then like as soon as he's like in this clan, I'm like, I have no idea what the fuck is gonna be happening in this clan, and it's only halfway done. It's so crazy.
Yeah, it did keep you guessing the whole time, and it doled out information really, really, really well. Where it was like, ooh, I think I have the final piece of this puzzle, and then you have absolutely no idea.
What's happening. It was like tension. Something happening. Tension, something happening. Yeah. Tension, something happening. It was just like, oh man, this is so crazy.
Yeah. It was really well put together, well constructed.
Maybe I disagree a little bit, because I felt like there was just like a little too much. There was like three whole like stories kind of.
Yes.
Shoved into one movie, and it made it a little bit too long, and it took a little bit of the focus from each of the stories. Like, I don't feel like any of the stories were really resolved.
Right.
And this is making me sound very square, like I just need this satisfactory little bow on it.
Yeah.
But none of them were like anti-resolved either. Like, it felt like there was just not quite enough attention paid to them. If it had focused on one of them more, I don't need it to be resolved in this conventional way, but I just want you to, I really want to know that you, like, got all the juice out, that you, like, really mined that idea for all that it had, and it seemed like it wasn't really that committed to exploring any one of its ideas, because it always wanted to go to, like, the next one.
So
that's, like, a minor gripe. I mean, I still liked the movie, but does that make sense to you guys at all?
You wanted a hard focus on it, as opposed to
like
a soft focus on it.
Like, shut up. Like, when you're watching Superman v. Batman, and Batman is punching the shit out of Superman.
Yeah, I just want the fist to go through.
Yeah, you're waiting for to hear his bones break, and his fist go into his body, but it just never happens. Yeah.
So you wanted bones breaking.
Yeah.
I gotta tell you, I thought there were a couple moments where bones were breaking in that movie.
Oh, yeah, no. I mean, there was a couple. I guess the only other image that comes close to the hunting scenes for me is just, like, the dead dog.
The dog is shocking.
I mean, there's something about having a really visually shocking thing happen in a movie that is just so pleasurable to me. It's like, I think it's because if the shot is nice at all, the fact that you're surprised by it, it's like, any little thing that would like cloud your ability to appreciate the shot is erased by the shot.
Yeah.
So you just like get the full like experience. Yeah, you're
just totally, I was not expecting them to show it.
No.
Like when the girl's like, oh, good brother.
It kind of reminded me a lot of the David Fincher Girl with the Dragon Tattoo with the cat, the dismembered cat on the ground.
The like touch point for me for like something that is so shocking that I just get immense pleasure from it is in Gone Girl when she like slashes Neil Patrick Harris' stomach.
Also, I was gonna say in Girl with the Dragon Tattoo when she hits the guy, or someone hits the serial killer guy with the
club.
With the golf club, and he like hits his mouth. You're like,
it's so horrible.
I feel like David Fincher . He, like, steps over that boundary, like, very loudly.
Yeah, David Fincher has, like, an eerie, like, calm about the way he shoots something, so that when there is some violence, it's incredibly effective.
Yeah.
It's the exact opposite of, like, even though I really happen to like Marvel movies, it's, like, the opposite of their action, where
it's, like,
so disjointed. Or Christopher Nolan does that, too.
Yeah.
Where his action is so disjointed, you can't really get a handle on whatever's happening. Where David Fincher will plop down his camera and be like, nope, here's the violence. And it's, like, incredibly refreshing and, like, alarming to an audience. And I feel like maybe that's why people don't like, even though everybody's seeing The Lobster, definitely nobody is liking The Lobster, which is very weird to me, too.
Also, something I hate about superhero movies is the sounds they use for the punches.
Like, whoosh.
It's like a hammer hitting a wall.
Yeah.
That is not how punches
No. Do you know how I think they could make a good commercially successful superhero movie?
What's that?
Jackie Chan.
Oh,
because
Spider-Man movie, Jackie Chan is like either the director or has like huge influence on the choreography and the way that it's shot.
Yeah, sure.
It would be amazing.
Also, they see how like what the least amount of money possible it is to make a movie. Instead of doing the opposite, like, let's just spend a lot of money so we have to, like, do a project where you spend only money that you need, like, things on, like, strictly, don't use, if there's a little bit too much, you're like, oh, we want to do that in CGI because it's easier.
Yeah.
Don't do that. Figure out something else. Yeah.
Yeah, just, well, and Jackie Chan's all about that. He always wants to use, like, practical effects. And because Spider-Man's such a snarky naturally funny superhero, the physical comedy of Jackie Chan's fight choreography would fit in really well, yeah. And the fight scenes would actually be intelligible instead of just cutting in weird ways that make it unclear what's going on.
What's Jackie Chan's phone number? Let's.
Well, did you guys see Super?
No. Yes.
Did you like Super?
I think so.
That had actually some horrible shaky cam now that I'm thinking about it. But I do like the idea of, like, a superhero movie having, like, this very minimal budget. I think that's kind of interesting.
Yeah. And, like, yeah, the violence in that movie was really, like, oh.
The violence is horrible in that movie. I would never watch it again. It's
really?
So horrible. But I do like that. And that's James Gunn. You know, good for him.
Yeah. The only problem I had with that movie was I felt like I was watching Dwight from The Office.
Yeah, I don't like, sorry, buddy, I don't like that guy.
He's okay. I think he's What's really good at, like,
Rain Wilson.
I think he's really good at being characters. Like, he fully develops Dwight, and it's like a realized character. And I also feel like the character in Super is pretty realized.
No, he's good. It's just like watching a man that you know. Like, yes. Like if Jerry Seinfeld was in a movie.
Yeah,
That's Jerry Seinfeld.
If they put Jerry Seinfeld in, like, a movie where he's supposed to be like a space army guy.
He'd be like, what's the deal with space stuff?
He's just like, what's the deal?
One thing I did really like about The Lobster, the acting was all really good. Phenomenal.
The acting's
like,
insane.
Totally wonderful.
And
the fact that they're all sort of acting like people with Asperger's.
They all carried.
But it just consistently works. Like, I can't think of an example at the top of my head, but I feel like I've seen movies before where it's like, oh, yeah, this person's awkward.
Yeah.
But, like, just throughout the movie, it always feels a little bit surprising. Not surprising, but it keeps you on your toes a little bit.
Yes.
You never get used to it.
No.
So you're always appreciating what a feat it is in terms of the acting, especially from Colin Farrell, I think.
Yeah, his, like, the clipped way that they speak, and then also, like, especially his, like, sloppy accent. It's so weird to have these, like, robotic phrases, but the way that he's saying it is sort of, like, messy. Like, he's stumbling over the most robotic phrase. It's so strange.
And you get the sense that he is he's not content to be sort of clueless socially. He wants to be better.
Yeah.
And so you can see him, like, as a person who's incapable of this, mimicking things that charming people do, or mimicking things that more socially fluid people do, and, like, not quite mimicking them well.
Yeah.
So he's, like, acting on several levels at the same time, which is always really hard to do, and when someone pulls it off, it's just wonderful.
While I was watching the movie, I was kind of thinking, like, I feel like this is what a movie would feel like if, like, Wes Anderson was, like...
I just laughed when you said his name.
I mean, I was just... Because it's stupid. But, like, if like, Wes Anderson was, like, asked to make, like, a horror movie, but he was, like, still trying to incorporate, like, Wes Anderson-y things, but also he had to make it, like, be, like, jarring and, like, kind of, like, okay, I need this awkwardness not to be, like, pleasant. I need it to be, like...
Unsettling.
Like, yeah, like pushing the narrative forward where it's, like, okay, why are these characters being like this? It's making everything harder.
That's true. It did have, like, an earnestness about it in, like, the same way as an indie movie did, but because it's having this, like, it has such a rotten, horrible core that it just is unsettling. Yeah. Like, it's wonderfully unsettling, and, like, Colin Farrell especially has such, like, a yearning about his character, but there's just no way to express it, that he just can't get it out. It's really sad to watch. Like, all these characters and their interactions, I think maybe that's why people are turned off to it, too, is that it has, like, this...
There's no reward for the two characters being in the same room.
No, there's no reward for it, and it's, like, very on the nose about, like, human relationships in this way that's, like, really unsettling.
Like when he goes into the pool room, and that girl that ends up being turned into a horse is there.
Yeah.
And he, like, tries to, like, hit her up, but she just doesn't even give a shit.
Yeah.
You're just like, that is not what I expected. Like, that made me feel shitty. She's just like, man, I'm gonna leave.
You're
like, oh, fuck.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
I think some of what you were talking about, how it has that earnestness and how something about it is a little strange and how it's talking about relationships, I think part of that is because how many movies... I mean, it's pretty clearly, I think... an allegory for online dating. At least on some level.
It's like a satire or something.
Yeah. But it's not very common to have a movie that's like very obviously an allegory for something that's happening in the present day, and then not have it be like a takedown or like something that's really funny.
Yeah.
Or like a it doesn't seem to me to be a satire of online dating in the way that, you know, many people have made satires of superhero movies.
Sure. Yeah.
It's not like joking. It's just being like,
yeah,
hey, this happens.
No, it's not like Doctor Strangelove.
And it doesn't seem to have like a thesis either. Like, it's not like online dating's so bad. Mm-hmm. It's turning us all into these people.
Yeah.
Because I think the allegory is the points, the two like planes of the allegory, like our world and the world of the movie are far enough apart that it's clear that there's not like moralizing going on.
No.
But that is a really weird position for a movie to be in, I think. I don't know, can you think of movies that are, like, clearly allegories? I mean, not in the way that superhero movies are propaganda. I think that's a different level.
You mean, like, could, like, the thief, the cook, his wife, and her lover being an allegory for, like, Thatcherite economic policy? Could that be, like, a
But that one's way more elusive, right? The allegory there is way more elusive.
Yeah, I'm just trying.
What about, 500 Days of Summer.
Oh, there you go.
Which is an allegory for
being a cool guy that has a cool job.
No, yeah, it's very strange. You're not terribly sure what it's trying to say.
Yeah.
You're just unsettled by the fact that you know it's trying to say something, but you don't really know what it's trying to say. It's like, this is saying something to me, and I'm uncomfortable with what it's saying, but I also don't know exactly what it's trying to say. And, like, that combination of things is very strange for an independent picture that's doing really well.
Yeah. But it's just, like, at this weird intersection of so many things those lines never all cross at the same point.
Yeah, and so I also feel like this is his first movie in English, right?
Oh, yeah.
So, it's like, I think that might also be interesting why it's so, strangely acted. Is, like, I feel like it's an accentuation. It's like, he's, like, accentuating the fact that he's never worked in English before by making it this, like, weird... You know what I mean?
That's interesting,
Like, I feel like there's definitely a disconnect between, like, how he would speak in a traditional one of his... But then again, I guess in Dogtooth, they kind of speak a little strangely, too, I suppose.
Yeah.
Dogtooth's great. I love Dogtooth.
I guess they... But they have the kind of same, like...
Yeah, I mean, it's harder to tell, I guess, because I don't speak Greek.
Yeah, I guess you're right. But, like, I'm thinking of, like...
But those subtitles, they were broken up in a really strange way.
Yeah, I mean, you can tell that they're just, like, sentences set after one after the other. But I do feel like there are a lot of movies...
It wasn't poetry on the screen.
No, in the huge, big...
Yeah.
No, it wasn't, like, Godard. But, I feel like when foreign language people do their first English movie... There's, like, you can kind of tell that they couldn't really communicate that well with their, you know what I mean? There was, like, something ill-natural about, like, this motion picture compared to their other ones. Have you ever felt that way before?
No, I don't think so, but...
Okay. I don't think I've ever paid enough attention at this specific type.
Maybe that's not something that's
And I guess
happening.
Sometimes it's just hard to know, like, is this on purpose or...
Right.
Is this an accident?
Yeah.
And I guess I also just never know how fluent, a lot of... directors from other countries probably speak English quite well.
It's probably true.
I don't know. What were you going to say earlier?
Oh, I was just going to say that it felt like a really modern movie. I felt like the story needed to be that convoluted and, like, not specific because, like, I feel like all the narratives that I care about now are, like, similar or something.
Yeah, they just don't... They don't totally make sense.
You can't finish anything or something
like
that.
Yeah, it's very postmodern. Like, there's just so much data in everything.
Yeah. This is post-mumblecore.
Was it... were there even phones in the movie, now that I think about it?
I mean, he gets a call on the phone in his room.
Yeah.
Not a cell phone, but...
There are no cell phones?
I don't think
no
there
computers?
Are...
Doesn't he have to surrender
I think
in
the beginning he has to, like...
at the beginning?
He has to give them
all because it seems to, like, exist in this weird, like, vacuum.
It's like a
of
vacation
time.
Where your phone doesn't work or something.
Yeah, but, like, the building seems old, and then they go to... So it's even more, like, alarming when you go to that modern city.
Yeah.
And it's like, okay, we were at this older-looking building with, like, wood everywhere.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Then we're in the woods, and now we're in this ultra-modern, like, city with this, when they go to the doctor's office, and it's just, like, this overhelming, weird, like, Jacques Tati
They go
office.
To the mall.
Yeah.
It
and
crazy.
It's just, like, I don't know. each different of the three parts, each of them are so distinct. It's almost like a Star Wars movie or something, where like each you can like feel each different part.
Yeah,
and they're all like so different that your eyes
they all are feel shocked. Really far away, but also like in the same universe.
Yeah, you can kind of tell how far away they are, but they're also totally different. It's very weird.
But everything I think you about make a good point about how they also, even though they felt so different, they all felt like they the exist same, on the same world, just like far apart.
Yeah, from like each I liked other. How like.
Which is an achievement of the movie.
Yeah, like they had to lie to that girl's parents and be like, oh yeah, we're a happy couple, we have jobs. And the parents were just like, they were like as distant as everyone else because they like don't even know enough about their daughter to be like, you're living in the fucking woods.
Yeah.
And you don't do fucking anything.
I love those parents. I love the scene where they're kissing each other.
Yeah, that was, I thought that was a really good scene.
That's like the best scene.
And they're just like so jamming. You're just like, this is dope as fuck. But also that was really... That's what I was saying. That was, I thought that was also like a really utilitarian way of using music because like the only scene where they ever get to indulge is like the scene that they, you get to listen to like beautiful
which
music.
Is normally like what the movie does on a on like separate levels. Like it's usually not someone playing the music in the movie. It's usually like a soundtrack layered on top in order to enhance your feelings.
No,
but
it was
here
like,
it's like flattened down.
Yeah, they use like
which is
the narrative
yeah.
to make okay.
It's the, that's an incredible
moment. I loved the movie.
Okay, so you loved it. What did you think, Sam?
I really liked it. I mean, I can understand how people would think it's a little long. I thought it was long, too, but I don't know what I would take out of it.
Yeah.
And I don't know how I would change it. Like, when I try to... When I think of something, like, bad about a movie, I'm like, well, what would I do to change that? And in this,
notes.
I can't... Yeah, I can't really
I know something that I would change.
What would you change?
It seemed like they got a little too enamored with, like... putting the focal point of a shot like really close to the edge of the screen. Does this make sense to you? Like it seemed like there were a lot of times where they were like doing close-ups but the person's face was like at the edge of the screen.
Okay,
I was like, yeah, okay, I get it, like things don't have to be in the center. And it didn't seem like a particularly aesthetically pleasing or novel.
But there
idea.
Was also shots where people's
definitely
there's this really nice fade in between the girl, the leader of the girl in the woods, into like them watching them, the two main characters, the people who fall in love, like walking down, it's like some trail, and I always think about that now.
Yeah, it have some nice fades.
Yeah,
I remember now.
Yeah, it was like they like appear like right in her forehead.
Really,
it was. It was kind of. I would say it was a little bit inconsistent in like how good it looked. Like sometimes it looked like baby's first indie movie. Good.
Okay.
Or just like, yep, okay, you like made that shot asymmetrical, cool.
Yeah.
And then sometimes it's like, oh no, that's like legit a really good shot.
Yeah.
I don't remember any fades in that movie, which is really weird because I normally love
it. Didn't
fades.
Use a ton of them, but it had
two or three
good ones.
Okay. Okay, so Sam, I loved it. You liked it.
Yes.
Upper liked it?
Yeah, I would say I liked it quite a bit. I would like to see it again. I have yet to, but I really enjoyed it a lot.
Derek?
I liked it. It underwhelmed me a little bit based on like my expectations. I had really high expectations. I still liked it, but I didn't really like it.
Yeah.
I just liked it.
I think it's some of the best advertising in recent memory.
Yeah.
The trailer?
The trailer and the poster are
the trailer
was incredible.
Really
the only thing I was disappointed about was I was waiting for fucking Iron Man to fall out of the fucking sky and like it just lands and it goes like
one other thing that I found kind of
like, fuck yeah
one other thing that I found kind of weird, we should probably just end on that because that's funnier, but John C. Reilly wasn't that good.
He
wasn't in it long enough.
He was okay
and the lisp was like not convincingly
no, it wasn't.
Real
the best part he was in is when he gets shot with the dart thing and then he falls and he takes his clothes.
I mean, normally John C. Reilly is just in something and he's so completely the character and you're like, wow, this guy's so good. And this is like the first time that I've seen him and been like, eh.
I guess you're right.
God damn it, Steve.
Step it up, John. It's really weird to call him John.
Yeah.
I mean,
he's one of those people where you need to see say the whole name, like Cher.
I just think of him as Steve, so.
Oh, yeah.
All right.
That is the end of the podcast.
Probably should end on you making explosion noise.
No,
I like that. You're gonna.
We ended on you saying something like some other time, so we can't do that.
No, I think it's good still.
Oh my
God. Thanks for listening.
Oh, if we keep this in, we should say thanks for listening.
Oh, I don't know.
Thanks for listening. If we're still doing this.
And shout out to my parents if they get to listen to this. Also, they're starting their own podcast.
Nice.
Yeah,
that's true. Yeah.
Don't forget to follow us on Twitter. You can email us if you want. I think you can find all this stuff. You're good at
making another explosion noise. Quick.
Kapow.